Blog Talk Radio.
Strategies for Success, where every day I bring you a dynamic guest. And today I am so excited. I have Joel Reese, who is the singing cowboy. Let me tell you a little bit about him. From ranch to rodeo and Opryland to Legoland, Joel Reese, the singing cowboy, brings 37 years of professional variety entertainment, as well as 29 years of children's educational programs and family concert to you and your guests. Joel portrayed Gene Autry and other cowboy and popular country singers right out of high school in a production show in Nashville, Tennessee, from 1986 to 1989. He was also one of the songwriters used by the Country Music Hall of Fame for their Words in Music elementary school programs in Nashville. When performing for youth, Joel shares the character traits, habits, and routines that have been necessary for achieving many of his goals and dreams. At 21, he returned to his Western roots, forming the Top Hand Band in Southern California, playing dances, corporate events, and concerts. Opening shows for Western artists such as Riders in the Sky, Michael Martin Murphy, and the Sons of the San Joaquin, Joel shares the love of the land, wildlife, livestock, and the cowboy way of life through story and song. Joel is grateful for the goals achieved and the surprises received along his trail, such as being asked to perform before former Texas Governor George W. Bush, write songs for the Vanderbilt Kennedy Center's Ready, Set, Van Gogh program, and most recently to work with a farming and winery hospitality family in Temecula Valley. Joel now lives in the Temecula Valley with his wife and children. Growing up on a ranch in Temecula, California in the late 60s with a family of horse trainers and horse show rodeo producers, Joel was raised knee-deep in the Western way of life. At age three, while singing along with the radio and gazing across the ranch pastures, Joel dreamed of becoming a country singer, an entertainer, and he brings the same innocence and zest for life and entertainment to you and your guests today. Joel Reese, the singing cowboy, reads weekly bedtime stories and features weekly Rise and Shine TV posts on Facebook, all from Rise and Shine Ranch, a special place where imaginations run free and children and their caregivers love, laugh, sing along, and learn. Enjoy a heartful approach utilizing music for instilling character, self-esteem, manners, a love for learning, literacy, and respect for your neighbors. Joel's mission is to encourage families and their children with positive communication, providing programs for instilling love, confidence, and a caring for one's neighbor around the world. And he is also an acclaimed artist. So welcome, Joel. I'm so happy to have you today on the show, Joel.
Me too. I'm so excited. Very much to be with you, Robbie.
Yeah, I like that.
What time did you rise and shine this morning?
3:30.
I figured that. Yep, that's what ranchers and cowboys do. They get up before everybody else. Get more done.
I know. Then we get a lot done, right?
Yes, ma'am. You're a cowgirl at heart, that's for sure.
When did you first realize you wanted to entertain and make music?
When I was two and a half, we lived on a little ranch in Temecula, and I had an AM radio. And I would listen to it, and I just knew I wanted to sing. And I'd see TV shows on the old stereo. Remember the TVs that had a record player on the top of them and speakers on both ends, and they were tube TVs. And anyway, I'd watch that and watch Johnny Cash. I fell into a burning, you know, and I'd see Glen Campbell and Sonny and Cher, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to make people feel good with music. And that's how the whole idea started. And as far as working with children, you know, most all of us have relatives or friends that from the time we were very little, they would entertain us with, you know, like the Itsy Bitsy Spider, or they would grab our nose with two fingers and say, I got your thumb. But I always liked that connection, the way adults would make children feel special, and that's kind of how it sparked me, I think, in the very beginning.
That's great. What are a few of your career highlights?
Well, let's see. I would say, you know, you read a lot of things, and there was some that are definitely highlights, like standing beside Governor Bush before he became president and singing a lot of songs there for the barbecue. But I would think really, honestly, the greatest highlights are the times I've been in a library, a school library, and just sitting there on the floor with all the children around me, singing, connecting. I remember one little girl was both blind and deaf, and so I took her hand and put it on my guitar as I was playing, and she started smiling. I would say all those experiences with the children, or here's one. I was up in Lemoore, I think it's called Lemoore, California, about 20 years ago doing a school assembly. I think it was probably K through 6. And when I finished up the 4th through 6th assembly, there was one boy that he kind of fell into the end of the bully category. He was causing some issues during the assembly, and I connected with him, made him feel important. And when it was over, I motioned him forward, and I gave him a book. It was a book about youth, and it was a very positive type book. And he grabbed that book and held it to his chest and ran away, left. And later, I got an email from the teacher, and she said, you don't know what you've done for this young man. He's had a lot of challenges, and his dad's in jail, and, you know, it went on and on with the story. Said he came running into the class with this book clutched in his arms and smiling and a tear in his eye. And so things like that would be the greatest rewards for me. And, you know, my parents were a big influence, and I want to read you a poem that my dad wrote for you, Robbie. I don't know if this has ever been read. It's called Diva from Geneva. So he and my mom both are always very creative, and he wrote this about a year ago. I met a diva from Geneva. That's where she kept her loot in secret lockbox, not on the rural route. She could yodel and she could sing. She could do almost anything. Herded goats on the mountaintops and sold milk and cheese in the village shops. Then she sailed across the seas, started a farm, grew flowers and peas, pollinated by a hive of bees. Bought a pig, taught it to whistle and dance a jig. Now on stage, she's wearing a wig. Some like 'em and some don't give a fig. Her little old lockbox was not quite full, so she bought some sheep and sold the wool. Grass never grew beneath her feet. Eager for the next challenge she was to meet, she's got the wisdom of a woman and the strength of a man. Anything she needs is in the palm of her hand. Bought a hammer and bought a saw. Went to college and learned the law. This is the story of Miss Motter. With a handful of clay, she became a potter. All of the boys said there's nobody hotter. Nothing in life has ever got her. You can be a diva too. Dream a dream, show up, ask, and follow through. That's what divas do. So there you are, Robbie. That's another
great
highlight.
That's so cool. I like that. What is some other memorable and rewarding moments that you've had with your music?
Let's see. I would say when you're on stage, and I like playing just me and my guitar, but there's something special about, I sang with a big band when I was just out of high school, and you have these horns behind you, and, you know, you've got the rhythm section, and either people ballroom dancing out in front of you, or maybe it's a concert, and everyone is connected. And we're all feeding off of each other, and you start feeling so good. You don't need any drugs, any depression medication. You know, you don't need anything but just that gift of music and human connection. And, I, you know, down in San Diego, California, there's a venue called Humphreys by the Bay. Have you seen a concert before?
Yes, I've been
Great concert. And I had the privilege of opening for Loretta Lynn about 20 years ago and a couple other country singers. And I remember with my band, because we were well rehearsed, and the first time I ever played there, I opened for a country singer named Mark Chestnut. He sang a song, "Too Hot to Fish." Let's see, "Too hot for golf and too cold at home." How do you like that? That's a funny line, isn't it? But I was opening for him, and I'd never played that venue, so I had the luxury of driving down a week before the show. So I drove down there in the day and went up on stage and just rehearsed by myself and imagined the audience and got a good feel for that stage. And because I've always been big in visualization, but you've got to practice physically too. One time I just did all visualization before a show, and I didn't do so good because I forgot to do the physical practice. But when I would play with the band then that night for the show, I wasn't thinking. I was just flowing. And it was as if I could have fallen off into the audience and let them do the, what do they call that, where they hold you with their hands and you pass, they pass you around? What is that?
Oh, yeah. That's not...
audience surfing
or
something.
I don't know what they call it, but it's...
Yeah. I didn't do it, but I could have done it. That's how connected we all felt. So I'd say that's another one. You know, Robbie, the latest thing I'm excited about is with all of us being, or many of us being quarantined, there's been some positives come out of it as well. So I just wrote a new song called "You Are the Light." I was inspired to write it because, as you mentioned, I've been putting up my weekly Rise and Shine Roundup program on Facebook, and I've been doing the story reading. The president of the California Association of Education for Young Children, CAEYC, she and I met 20 years ago when I played a song for the annual conference in Long Beach. Well, I didn't realize she was following me on Facebook watching these little shows. So she called me 2 weeks ago, and she says, "I like what you're doing." And she says, "You know what's interesting? Is I saw Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood doing a concert on like a Facebook Live, you know, whatever their format was. Maybe I think it was YouTube, like a YouTube channel. And it was beautiful. It was fantastic. And they paid tribute to the, you know, all the first responders and all these on the front lines, and said, but the only thing missing is they didn't mention the early childhood caregivers." And she says, and I say that because right now in the preschools, the only ones that are there pretty much are the children of the doctors, the nurses, the policemen. Some of the preschool teachers are at home, of course, on unemployment, and they don't want to go back and do it because they're afraid they're going to maybe contact the virus. But they also are earning more money on unemployment in some cases than if they were to go back to work part-time. So there's that conundrum. But then you've also got other preschool teachers that are there doing it, and they're in the front line as well. But there's a lot of different challenges going on. So I said, okay, I'm going to write a song, and we'll pay tribute to all the early childhood caregivers. Can I play that for you right now?
Sure, I'd love it.
Okay. Let's see. And you can hear the guitar okay?
Yep, can hear it.
You follow the line. Bright as the sun, keep pouring your love in the hearts of the children. Keep shining your light, make it bright like a beacon on a stormy night. And when you feel no hope in sight, turn on your love light. light, a ray of hope, smiles of kindness shining down a dark road. Turn up your light, bright as the sun. Keep pouring your love in the hearts of the children. And when you see no hope in sight, turn up your love light, turn it up strong. They need you now more than ever. Let's sing it loud and proud all together. You are the light, a ray of hope, smiles of kindness shining down a dark road. Turn up your light, bright as the sun. Keep pouring your love in the hearts of the children. And when you see no hope in sight, turn up your love light, turn it up strong. Turn up your love light. And
wow,
you are, Robbie.
Gorgeous. That's fabulous. Really fabulous. You know, you've been in show business for 37 years. Have you seen it change? How has it changed?
Oh, let's see. I would say the first way it changed is we used to you used to fax people. That was like a speedy way to get a hold of people, right? Email
right.
wasn't popular yet. We didn't do that. We would send things in the mail. What else? You'd record on a tape, which was fine. And in some cases, you know, analog tape sounds very warm. But things took longer, but you didn't think anything about it. That's one way it's changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is no matter how technical and modern and hip the world has become, people, and even little children, still are touched the exact same way just by a person's voice or a voice in a guitar or a voice in a piano or a puppet. All those basics, it's like children. Children, if you'll give them little sticks and little rocks and things to play with in a backyard, they'll play for hours. So a lot of things haven't changed. Like here's something that hadn't changed. Back maybe, like, let's say when you and I were small, even though there was a lot of really beautiful melodies, you guys, would you like to swing on a star? You know, a lot of great melodies back in those times. But yet there was songs that weren't that great, that didn't have a melody. And there was probably parents and grandparents saying, oh, this music today sounds awful. Some of them may be right. Isn't it the same today?
What?
There's that don't have a melody, and this just sounds like someone's beating the side of your house with a post. But there's some pretty melodies, and there's some great lyrics. So that hadn't changed either.
What are some of your influences, and what have you learned with them?
Mentors and musical influences?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Here's one. One of the biggest ones for me as a little boy and really throughout my life was Glen Campbell. And I remember when I've been walking these streets so long, when that song was playing over and over again in 1975, every kid loved that record, Rhinestone Cowboy. And I remember I'd lay there at night and I would visualize me meeting him, not knowing I actually would someday. Now, we never became friends or, you know, didn't get to play in his band. Those were some of my dreams. But here's what I learned from him in person. The first time I met him in Oklahoma City, he and Jimmy Webb, the songwriter, the Wichita Lineman and all those songs, they were there because Jimmy Webb was being inducted into the Cowboy Hall of Fame, and he'd written this song called the Cowboy Hall of Fame, and Glenn sang it. So I was able to get in during sound check to this event where they were rehearsing. Got to meet Glenn my first time, and he was a real gentleman to me. And he understood that I was this, how old is he? I was 18, 17. I was about 17 and a half years old. And he dignified me. He realized I was this young guy with stars in my eyes that looked up to him, and he was cool with that. So I learned that someone as famous as him, how humble and how he dignified me and how he had Southern gentleman manners, like Elvis Presley had manners. Then secondly, he didn't have a guitar amp with him, and they had a little orchestra, and I asked him, I said, could I go home and get my amp so you can play through my amp tonight during the program? He says, yeah, that'd be great. So now, yeah, man, I'm real excited now. So I bring an amp, and I said, is it okay if I sit with you during dinner? So I got to sit next to Glenn and Jimmy Webb and all these heroes, so I got to eat dinner with them, watch the show. Then I was in the back where, you know, he was from Delight, Arkansas. And on TV one time, he said, yeah, we're having our Campbell family reunion. Y'all come on down, because Glenn was always super friendly like that. So I took him for his word. I'd gotten my car, and I drove to Delight, Arkansas. I was a day late, and I missed everything that was at the hotel. But I found where he was staying with his brother, Shorty, on the old farm there in Billstown, Arkansas. So I go in the house, knock on the door, and this young person lets me in, and his wife's in the kitchen. She says, yeah, Glenn and Shorty are out here on the back porch. I mean, can you imagine? And this is when I was about 18 at the time, yeah. So I walk on the back porch and say hello, and we just sit there and we all visit for a while. And then Glenn went on into town, and me and Shorty sat and played guitar for a while. But Glenn was polite. He said, excuse me, I've got to go to the bank now. You know, nice to see you. So anyway, that's a long story, but every time I met Glenn, he had manners and he dignified people. I'll just finish with this one last one. The last time I saw him was in Orange County 20 years ago. My wife and I were newly married, and I heard that he was playing at a civic center there in Orange County. I called, tickets were all, it was all sold out. So I'm like you, Robbie, I've always loved to show up. So I said, honey, I was newly married, so she's willing to do just about anything. I said, honey, can we just go on a hunch, jump in the car and go up there? I think we can figure out a way to see this show. Okay, so we drive up there about an hour from where we were. And I knock on the backstage door, and a security guard comes up, and I say, now I forgot his name. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. I asked for his road manager, Bill McClay. I says, is Bill McClay available? Tell him Joel Reese is here. We knew each other in Branson, Missouri. So Bill comes over, hey, how you doing, Joel? Yeah, come on back, get you some tickets and get you a backstage pass. Wow. So we watch the show, show's over, we go backstage, and I introduce my wife to my hero. I say, Mr. Campbell, this is my wife, April. And he goes, April, love. Then I tell him a joke because he loves jokes. He listened very patiently and looked me in the eyes. When I was done telling the story, the joke, he laughed, and he says, yeah, I've heard that one. But see, he could have stopped me in the beginning, so, you know, I've already heard that, but he didn't. So I think that would be one thing I've learned as far as a mentor would be, no matter how famous you are in a world's eyes, always be humble and love and care about people. I could go on about other people, but I tend to get sidetracked telling all these details in my stories, Robbie. I hope you didn't mind getting pretty detailed there.
So talk about, we have about 6 minutes left, so talk about how people can reach you and talk about how your reading program and your singing and bedtime, how's that going? And how can, and be sure to tell us how they can reach you.
Okay, well, my name, J-O-E-L, Joel, and then think about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, R-E-E-S-E, so joelreese.com. And also Joel Reese on Facebook, and there's probably more than one of me, so you look for the one where I've got a guitar in my arms, and I would love to connect and interact, and be it what, you know, like when I have my, I start out singing a piece of a song, and then I read a wonderful book, and then I end with a little song, and I do that every week. I say every week. No, I can't promise I'll do it every week, but I have been. And since I can't go to preschools and schools right now, I thought that was the best way to reach everybody. And well, how's it going? Well, I haven't made the time to really do enough connecting out there with people that have children, but the preschools and some of the following that have been so supportive of me over the years that are watching it are letting some of their nieces, nephews, grandchildren know and are watching it, and they seem to be enjoying it.
That sounds good. Do you still perform for adults, and what are you doing there?
Yeah. Matter of fact, here's an idea. This would be great. Anyone that's listening that lives within 30 or 40, 50 miles of me, well, or let's say 70 miles. Let's limit it. Why don't we do a block party where I'll come and be out on your sidewalk, and you invite three or four houses around, and everybody come out in their front yard and sit in their chairs, and I'll do 20, 30-minute interactive dancing fun thing for the children, and they can all sit in their yard. And then after that, I'll sing just a variety of, from John Denver to Roy Orbison to some new things and original songs for the whole family and adults. And then they can take up the tips, and then I can buy some gas and pay a bill and head home.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You
can wear masks.
So where do you see yourself a year from now?
1 year from now. Well, I'll tell you this. I was working over at the Hampton Inn, you know, as a sales manager. And when Legoland closed, I'm sorry, when Disneyland closed, I realized at that moment that sometimes you have to take life an hour and a day at a time. So I don't know what in the world I'll be doing a year from now. But I would like, like you, I've always written things, and I'm just finishing up a book. So a year from now, I would like to have a few books available. A year from now, I would like to have written some more songs that hopefully make a difference in somebody's life. But most importantly, have even a better elevated relationship with my creator, with my family, with my friends. I think that's the best thing, because who cares about your house or what you've got unless you've got a great relationship?
That's so true. That is so true. So what advice would you give to someone wanting to earn a living making music?
First and foremost is always steer your mind and your heart to that North Star, which being figuratively the love of the music, the love of the people. There can be a temptation to veer off and be chasing money or chasing fame or acceptance or all these things. But if we can keep our mind, you know, keep recharting the course to that North Star, which is love. So do it because you love it, number one. Number two, it's always good to have mentors so you can see how other people did it right and their mistakes they've made. That's always good. Another would be show up, even if you're not ready. Of course, it's better if you've rehearsed and you're ready, but go do everything you can think of. Like right now, we're all doing something new. You're doing a blog on the radio, you know, do everything that's available.
Yeah, that's great. So tell them one more time how they can get in touch with you, because we're down to a little less than 90 seconds.
If they've got chocolate, that's how they can get in touch with me. No, I'm just kidding. just my name, Joel Reese, like peanut butter cups, joelreese.com, or go on Facebook and look me up. I'd say that's the easiest way. And I do dedications like this. I can do a video dedication that we can send out to them. They could send for an anniversary or graduation or whatever. We all kind of fun things we could do together. Even co-write a song. Since you got 90 seconds, I'll say, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're down to 44 seconds.
44 seconds. I co-wrote a song with a kindergartner in school once called Down at the Library, and it was a lot of fun. We can even collaborate something together. Like you and I, Robbie, we've collaborated, and we'll do more. I hope, and I look forward to it.
Well, it has been a joy. It's always a joy to be around you, and I'm honored that you were a guest today. And what's great is once the show's over live, it becomes archived, and people can listen to it. Listen to it at any time. So, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robbie. You're like a mom to many of us, and I want to say that my mom also, like you, has always been a hard worker, played records for me, has supported me all along the way.
All right. Well, stay well. Bye now.
Thank you. Good night.